It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat. Monica's missing this morning, but her mama Eva is here helping us run the iPad. And our guest this morning is Rick Spain. How are you this morning?
Hey.
Hey. Just one word?
Yeah. We're going to be short today. Yes. So we've got our title today is a scripture and a thought, and it might last 5 minutes, and we might get through the whole hour. Who knows?
An hour goes by faster than I ever thought, yeah. Sitting in this room.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still comment on the Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located in New Liberty, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. If you'd like a entry onto our August book blessing wheel, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. Today is Thursday, so stay tuned after the program. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight Shepherd on the Truth broadcast. I think I covered it all.
I think you did. I think you do. Is that just a Thursday deal, or is it?
Which part?
Pastor Dwight.
Usually it's on Thursday. Some days we have technical difficulties and we have to do it a different day, but usually we do it on Thursdays.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Wait. And you're always here on Thursday, so it
know.
Seems like it's every day. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering. So,
would you like to pray to start us
you
out?
You bet. It's good to be here, you guys, and I want you to know the Spirit of God's here, and wherever you are, He's there with you. He's got a word for you today. Father, we love you and we bless you. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, in spite of the difficulties, Lord God. You've gone ahead and you make a way where there seems to be no way. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, what seems impossible to us is a small step to you. Lord God, we thank you for today. I pray, Lord God, that our eyes and our ears are opened, our hearts are touched. Our lives are changed, altered for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat there.
Yeah. I like your title.
Yeah,
it sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's what is interesting is this is, I pray to the Lord and I say, Lord, what do you want me to share? And, you know, I pray little prayers here and there because I know I'm going to be here on Thursday, you know, and so, and then I just listen more often than not, it seems like that the Lord doesn't give me anything, just, this is what I want you to talk about. I know where we're going today. I don't know how we're going to get there, you guys, but you know, He's faithful. He's faithful. You know, and that's the thing. Even when we are faithless, mm-hmm. He's faithful. And there's a reason why. Because He cannot deny Himself. If He said it, He'll do it. You know, and it's hard for us to see because we are bombarded with unexpected bills, with family problems, with you fill in the blank. Occupational, whatever, you know, and it seems like, wow, you know, I'm just trying to live my life here and all this, can we say crap on there? Already did. All this crap seems to be piled on us, but I want you to know something. that he will never leave you helpless. It's when we start looking in the wrong direction. When we look in the wrong direction, because we're going to be moved by what we see. You know, and that's where our minds go. Our minds go according to what it looks like. Well, you know what? God's not moved that way. So when we start coming to him and start telling him, Lord, you got to change this and this and this to make my life easier. Gosh, I hate to say this, you guys, but it's not about making your life easier. It is about making your life productive. Mm-hmm. Because an easy life is, it becomes really monotonous. It becomes boring. You lose sight of the reason why you're here. A productive life is always moving forward. It not only helps you, and it will. I'm telling you, it will. But it helps those around you. And that's what's very important. So that was all free, you guys. That doesn't have anything to do with what I'm talking about today. But we got scripture here, so we're going to read in Genesis chapter 3. Read the first 7 verses. It begins like this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverage. Yeah. Interesting world that we live in. That's the scripture. Now we're going to get into some more scriptures as the Holy Spirit moves here. But this is the thought. The thought is introduce, promote, and normalize. Those three thoughts right there. Introduce, promote, normalize. The world we live in today is it's a head spinner. If you think about it, but we're already getting into the normalization of where we are already. Now, I want you to see this. Introduce. Okay, I'm going to pick something out of the hat. Transgender. Okay, a gender identity. Let's call it that. So we know there's only two genders. That's science. Science promotes this. There's only two genders. And so what has happened? It's been introduced. Transgender's been introduced. And so what has happened is there's, you know, we've got all these big corporations. We got the government. We got everything coming in. And what are they doing? Promoting. Promote. And so, and the ones of us that are enlightened, you know, and we realize, well, we're looking around, well, that's a guy and that's a girl, you know, and so the common sense thought isn't, I mean, it doesn't translate in what's being promoted today. And so this promotion, they're pushing. And then the last thing is normalization. And so where it's common, where it's where, you know, we've had the attacks. And as Christians, the attack has been, you know what, God loves everybody. You know, and so we need to love everybody. And what that means is we've got to turn our head to what they're doing and love the person. There's truth in that. There's a grain of truth in everything that the enemy speaks. There's a grain of truth in everything the enemy speaks. And so if we get caught up in the grain, then we're going to get lost in the lie. And that's where normalization comes in. So this is what we got to be careful about. So here in the garden, the snake, the Satan, the devil, he came and he said to the woman, didn't God say you can't eat of any tree in the garden? You know, so the first thing, he's got you questioning your belief. And that I want us to understand that this isn't a new tactic. So this is something that we see in the very beginning. And so what we're seeing today is just the same tactic being duplicated in different settings, different circumstances, different people. And so what's, you know, so he's saying, didn't God say this? And of course she said, no, he didn't say that. He said we can eat any fruit in the garden except for this one tree. We can't eat it and we can't even touch it. Now, God never said that. God never said that you couldn't touch it. This is important to us, you guys, because this is the concept we get into. Yeah, we don't want to partake of what the enemy wants us to partake of, but it doesn't mean that we can't touch that. Because we got problems in our world. And you know why we have problems? It's because God's people have remained silent. God's people have not touched the situation. God's people haven't gotten into it. So, you know, one good thing about COVID. COVID is, it woke everybody up, or most people. Woke most people up. Opened her eyes and said, something's not right here. You know what I'm saying? And so when our eyes were open, then we could see a lot of other things going on. We see how corrupt the government was, how corrupt the world is, for that matter. You know, we've seen all this corruption. And so then, you know, we wanted to stand up and do something about it. Well, that lasted for a little while. But one thing it's done is it has caused a remnant of God's people to get involved, to touch the forbidden fruit. I want us to see this, that, you know, there's still a remnant. Most of the people are going back to normalization. Go to church on Sunday, we did our thing, and so then we got to live our life. I don't have anything written in a script here this morning, so I'm just going to go on with it. We're headed for a big train wreck. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's as easy to understand as the sun rising and the sun setting. When you see things like this, we know what's going to happen. So Jesus said, when you start seeing these things, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. So when we think of redemption, we think, okay, it's the rapture. We're going on to heaven. We're getting out of this stuff, and that will happen. I'm not discounting that. But when Jesus said your redemption draws nigh, what is he talking about? What is a redemption? Okay, so let's say you want this product. You see an advertisement on TV or whatever, and you say, well, I think I could use that. That'd be very helpful for me. You know, and so you go down to wherever they're distributing this, and you say, I want that product. I saw it on TV. Can I have it? And what are they going to tell you? Well, it's going to cost you this much money. In order to have that product, you have to have redemption. A redemption is the money that you pay. And so, as believers, I mean, we were talking, or I was listening. The ladies were talking about, and this is something that the Spirit of God has been speaking over and over. I'm hearing it over and over, is gaining control over the words of our mouth. And so it's just over and over and over. I was laying in bed last night, and we watch something on Christian TV before we go to sleep. Probably about 30 minutes we'll lay there and then shut it off. And there's various people. Well, there was a lady on there last night, and she said something that really stirred me up. And so I muted the TV, and I talked to Heather, and I said, Sweetie Pie, that's my Sweetie Pie. Yeah, Heather's my Sweetie Pie. So I said, you know, she really stirred something in me. You know, and so what happens, I'm going to try to explain it to you. What happens is that we as believers, we live our Christian life the best we can. Let's say that. The best we can, we live our Christian life, and we have these outside factors coming in. It's like bullets passing by our ear or arrows coming at us. And what do? Dodge them. We dodge them. Dodge them. Doing good. You know, we're doing our thing. We're making a living. We're taking care of family, and we're telling people about Jesus, you know, and so, but as we're going, we're dodging these bullets, dodging these arrows, you know. And so is that what God wants us to do? He wants us to be good at maneuvering around all this stuff? No. Thank you, Tina. Yes, we do. We do have a shield of faith. But not only that, we have the sword of the Spirit. You know, and there's so much of this. You know, there are times they're going to come. The arrows are going to come. That's Ephesians 6, you brought that out. That the fiery darts of the evil one, they're going to come at us. And well, how do we counter that? With the shield of faith. But if we're walking around with the shield of faith all the time, well, you know what? We're not going to do a whole lot of good, because the only offensive tool we have is the Word of God, according to Ephesians 6. We have other tools that we can use, but it is all tied to the foundation of what God said. If God said it, that's it. You know, what God says is not just a good idea. What God says is truth. Now, this world will come in and tell you, no, this is truth, or this is truth, or this is truth, you know, to combat your belief system. So when we read the scriptures, when we hear somebody talking about the scripture and being edified, you know, because that's what the body is for, to edify one another. When we receive this, you know, we get it in ourselves, and it's interesting. When the Lord speaks, it's like lights go off. And we think, wow, that's a good thought. I'll never forget that. Well, then you walk out the door, and boom, here comes the arrows. Here comes the arrows. What about this? What didn't God say? Did not God say? Well, did God really mean that in this circumstance? And so he's immediately coming in to try to take the Word of God immediately. So how do you fortify that? And gosh, I hope this is good because I'm rambling this morning. But but Romans chapter 10 tells us something. Romans 10, for what is it? The word of faith is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That if you will, that if you believe, if you will speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So there's a lot of thought there. You know, we've heard this many, many times, but a lot of us don't understand it. We think, well, yeah, that's the way to get saved. Yep, it sure is. And you know what? Salvation is not just a one-time experience. It's all the time. And so what Paul did is he set a precedence here by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's telling us, first thing you got to do is you got to believe. You have to believe. But if you just believe and do nothing else with it, that belief system's going to be challenged, and other beliefs are going to come in there, and they're going to infiltrate what God said. Just like with Eve, God said we can't eat or touch it. God didn't say that. And so that's what the enemy does. He wants to add stuff in there. So the key is to believe. Like I said, when God speaks to you, it's like lights go off. You think, wow, that's great. And then we go on and we do what we've always done. So how do you solidify this belief system? By speaking it with your mouth. So, okay, you got a financial need. You know, and so the enemy's coming in and telling you, well, you know, you're not going to be able to pay. You might be able to pay these bills, but you can't pay these. You just don't have the money. You know, and so he shows you all the circumstantial evidence. God is not moved by your circumstantial evidence. You got to understand this. You got to know this. He's not moved by your circumstantial evidence. What is he moved by? He's moved by faith in what he says. Now, it's not just being moved by what he says when it comes to us and in our level. What moves him on our behalf is faith in what he said. And so when we get it in our heart, we believe it, the next part is to speak it. Because you receive when you speak. So, you know, Tina was talking about the name it, claim it deal. You know, and I remember that. I was in that, and I was examining people because that's just what I do, Tina. I watch people, and I'm thinking that name it and claim it is in the scripture, but I did see a lot of stuff that was not centered on God and not centered on what God wants to do. It was centered on the person or the individual. You know, so we're all selfish by nature, folks. We are. You know, when we get up in the morning, who's the first person you look at? Really? Who's the first person you really look at? It's that person in the mirror. And you're thinking, Lord of mercy, I sure did sleep hard last night. Hair's going everywhere. Throw some water on there and comb that hair. You know, so that's just our nature. You know, so anyway, when God gives us his promises, well, we think that all that these promises are all about us. You know, I want to give you another scripture. It says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. But it doesn't stop there. In him. Yes and amen in him. So yes and amen, what's that mean? That means that's affirmative. It's an affirmative response. And amen means it's going to happen. Yes and amen. But the key thought is, it's not in us. It's in him. And when we begin to realize that when Jesus died on that cross, what did he do? Man, he paid the price for every sin that has ever been sinned. All the sins. Every one of them. He died for the sins of the whole world. Every one of them. That's good news. That's what produces salvation. He made that sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God, once again, in him. Okay, so I love Paul's revelation. Now, when I first got into that, you know, revelation of Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one. So that revelation revolutionized the church because it not only revealed that Jesus died for our sins, but that he was raised to life that we might live. That's the key thought, folks. You know, so getting back to what we're seeing in our world. You know, and so what we tend to do is we look at it at face value. What the eyes see, what the ear hears, what the body feels. And so that's how we judge what's going on. And so what we do is we tend to point at people and say, well, if this person wouldn't do this or this person, you know, we can talk about all kinds of people. But if we don't understand, this battle is not a flesh and blood battle. We are in a spiritual fight. And so immediately we that have been raised in the authority of the believer and the spiritual warfare and all this kind of stuff. Now, if you're not familiar with that, I would encourage you to look stuff up. There's lots of material out there. You know, talk to people about it. But we that have been raised in that, we immediately think, well, we got to get our armor on. We got to get out there and we got to start speaking to that devil. You know, and so, and we're looking at people. And so, and we may be speaking to the people, but you know what we're really doing? We're speaking to the people. You know. Or speaking to the circumstances. You know, I want you to understand this spiritual warfare, it begins in your own house. If it's not in your house, it's not going to be outside of your house either. And a lot of the spiritual warfare is won simply by agreeing with what God said. If you want to write something down, you need to write that down. That the number one way that we win this battle is with the sword of the Spirit, by agreeing verbally with what God says. Well, you might say, Rick, you know, that makes no sense at all. I'm looking at this problem. And I look at what God says. You know, like I said, you got all these bills, you got financial problem. What does God say? My God shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Give, and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Not God, men. God causes that to happen. So you may say, well, you know, I got all these bills to pay. That makes no sense to give. The scripture says, bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse and see, test me in this. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven to pour you out a blessing you won't have room to receive. Well, Rick, it doesn't make sense. That makes no sense to me. You know what? In the brain, it doesn't. But God is not moved by your circumstances. As much as you want him to be, he's not. Now, you might say, well, sounds like you're talking down to me here, Rick. It's like you got something. Well, you got a company and employees, and you got money coming in. You know, you got a source, and you control that money situation. I don't have that control. Well, let me tell you something. I'm not speaking to you from what the Bible says, even though I am speaking the word. I'm speaking to you from experience. There's been times when I've had piles of bill. I remember, half a foot tall bills. No money. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know how that's going to get paid. I've been attacked, folks. I've been attacked. You know, and so I'm looking at, I remember the first time I really went through this, that, you know, running a company and not just the personal side, but the company side. And I had a stack of bills 6 inches tall. Didn't know how they were going to get paid. And so what I did is I took all those bills, and I had a little table there at my front door. I stuck those bills right there by my front door. And a lot of times when I'd walk in or walk out, I'd put my hand on those bills and I'd say, thank you, Lord, these bills are paid. Well, things happened. And you know what? I didn't have to file bankruptcy. Every one of those bills were paid. How did it happen? I don't remember. That's been a long time ago. But I've seen it over and over again. You know, when you run a business, it's not like running a personal account. You know, I got big bills. You know, thousands and thousands of dollars every month. And so I've learned this. So instead of speaking about how am I going to pay these bills, I thank you, Lord, that I have done what you told me to do, and you are going to do what you said you're going to do. Now you fill it in with the words. You know, and you know, if you've got an issue in your life that you're dealing with, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that you're ever going to face that the Word of God doesn't address. There is no problem that you will ever encounter that God's Word doesn't have an answer for. And so I encourage you, if you're going through a situation right now, ask the Lord, give me what your Word says. I promise you, He will. He will give you the word for the season. In due season, he's always. Now, that due season is an interesting word, because it's the Greek word kairos. And so it's a time word. And so when we think of time, we're thinking about, well, it's 9:38. 9:38 on Thursday, August 17th, I believe, 2023. Okay, that's the time. Well, kairos is bigger than that. So kairos is a word that indicates when this comes together with this and this comes together with that, everything falls together, it's the right time. That's right. That's kairos. That's kairos. Well, what affects kairos in your life? What affects kairos in your life is what you're looking at. Okay, so if you're looking at that stack of bills, now I'm just using this as an example. If you're looking at that stack of bills, well, Lord, you're not even going to want to get out of bed. You know, so if it does, if God wants to do something, you're not there because you're in bed. And sometimes that's just a mental state of mind. You know, when we think about, yeah, you know, I just throw the covers over my head and close the world out, you know, that we want to just isolate ourselves. Well, God never wants you to isolate yourself. He does want you to find a quiet place so that you can talk to him, but he doesn't want you to remove yourself. And so if one thing is what we're looking at. You know, I know we got to take a break sometime, Tina, so let's take a break right here, and we'll come back with some more of this.